not on. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
So glad we're in church this morning. It's freezing cold outside, but in the house of the Lord it's warm, isn't it? It's youth service today, and the young people of the church are going to try and point our hearts towards Jesus with our songs and our testimonies. We pray to the Lord that it blesses you today because we are in the house of the Lord, and when we're in the house of the Lord, we praise Him. Pastor Justin, if you don't mind praying.
Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name today. And Lord, we're so very thankful for the many, many, many blessings, Lord, you bestow upon us. First and foremost, we are so thankful for the blessing of your Son. Lord, they came to earth and placed himself inside a human body, suffered, bled, died, buried, rose again,
Amen.
Lord. Father, we're so thankful that salvation's plan is complete. And this morning, Lord, it is offered to anybody that's here, that's listening, that does not know that today, if they die today, that heaven will be their home. Lord, I pray that you'll draw them, Lord, to an altar of repentance. But Father, for those that are saved that know you personally, I pray that today would be a day of encouragement, possibly even a time of coming back to the cross, Lord. Lord, we're just thankful for our young people. I pray that you bless them in a tremendous way this morning. Let us worship you, Lord. Be with the preacher this morning as he preaches. Touch Brother Brian. And Father, we'll praise you. We'll thank you for all that you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. He's a healing God. He's an amazing God. I didn't come this morning, I'm sure you didn't either, to just sit and go home. Let's worship this morning. So, henceforth, let's worship.
Good morning. If everybody will stand up, we tried another melody that we're going to do our best to do. With praises to the Lord, I did learn this morning that musically CJ is never wrong. I found that out. He helped us get the tempo down. Although Brother David would disagree with all that. He said he's going to quit if I gave a shout out. Anyway, I just wanted to thank our musicians so much. They really always give their best effort, and I don't take that for granted. I'm very grateful. Jackson over there. Patient with all of us girls, but this morning we're going to sing a melody of Holy, 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 Blessed Assurance, and How Great Is Our God. And I sure would love it if you'd sing with us this morning, and just don't sing for us, sing to the Lord. He is so worthy of being called holy. He has been our blessed assurance through I couldn't count on all my fingers and toes how many times he has been good to me and has come and given me unbelievable peace in those hard times and those places where I felt I was all alone. So let's just help these girls out and just sing with the from the bottom of our toes this morning. Okay, here we go.
Our souls shall rise to great is our God.
How great.
Told me a couple days ago that today was Youth Sunday, so I felt like I should share a couple things. I've been at Champion for almost a month now, and I'm really starting to settle in, and things are going pretty well. The preaching at Gospel Light, which is the church that's connected to Champion, is really good, and the Lord's been showing me a lot of things about myself and a lot of things about the people I'm with, and He's really been working on me in a lot of areas of my life. And the students here are very kind. I would ask the church if they would please pray for the students. I also ask that they pray for the staff and all the teachers and everything, because you know they need help from the Lord. And I just wanted to update the church on everything that's going here at Champion. And I wanted to thank the church for praying for me and for being so kind to me and for sending letters. And I think if there's anything I wanted to really say is there's been one specific verse that the Lord has really helped me with, and it's Psalms 30, verse 5, and it's just the end part, and it says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And the Lord's just really been working in me and trying to build something in me that I know that I can lean on Him. And that I can trust Him. And I know that your prayers have definitely helped me. So I ask that you continue to pray for me. And I thank you so much for helping me get here. And for praying for me before I was here. And for praying for my protection. And I hope that Youth Sunday is super great. And I hope that the Lord says something to the church. And that He motivates you. And that you continue in the love of the Lord. Thank you for everything that you've done for me, and I ask for your continued prayers, and I'll be praying for everyone in the church. Thank you.
My name is Alex, and this is my first time speaking, so I'm really nervous, but God has laid it on my heart to speak today. I was saved last year, and ever since then, I noticed that a better side of me began to come out, a side of me that I never knew that I had. And changes for the good started to occur. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And in Philippians 3:13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I don't know what I want to be when I get older, and I don't know what God's plans for me are. And But I do know that there's not a single person in this room who is too broken or damaged that cannot be saved by Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm just glad that on August 8th, 2021, I accepted Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and anybody in this room can too.
Just a song, he's reason. September, our youth service continues this evening. Brother CJ will be preaching. It will also be our fifth Sunday fellowship. So we will be meeting in the fellowship hall. We hope everyone will make plans to be there. Please remember our upcoming youth ski trip. We will be leaving early Tuesday morning, February 22nd, and returning Friday, February 25th. We will be going to North Carolina this year, skiing at the Sugar Mountain and Beach Mountain. Please be in prayer for our safety and spiritual fruit. It's almost Jubilee time. Our Jubilee will be Sunday, March 6th through Thursday, March 10th. Special preachers plus singers each service. More details are on the bulletin. Please remember all those in our prayer list. Also remember our military, our very own James and Peyton, as there are some escalating situations in our world right now. And please always remember to keep praying for Kevin at Champion Bible College in Arkansas. Brother Allen, could you pray for us?
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Fly away when the shadows of this life has grown up. Fly away like a bird from prison bars is flown. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah. By and by, I'll fly away.
Psalms chapter number 56, and when you get there, put a marker there and also find 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I want to just do that so we can get moving along, but I don't know. I just thought that worship was beautiful today. And when I met with the young people in the room right before we came in here to pray, I said, what would it be a success today? What would be success if we have succeeded in our mission? The first kid said, somebody gets saved today. If you don't know Jesus, what a help he'd be to you. What a friend he'd be to you. What a difference he'd make in your life. Everywhere Jesus Christ works, it's beautiful and it's helpful. Would you consider Jesus Christ today? Maybe you've tried everything else. Maybe you've looked for fulfillment in other things. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ will fulfill you. There's a hole in your heart that's just the size of Jesus. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm not putting on a show. I'm telling you the truth. Anybody who knows me knows that Jesus Christ has made the most enormous difference in my life, and all of the good that's in my life comes from the one decision I made when I was 12 years old to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's that significant. He truly is that significant. The next kid said, maybe somebody will shout praises to the Lord. I thought Brother Justin had a shot at it, you know what I mean? But he had the very unfortunate experience of sitting right in front of me, and I'm tone deaf and can't sing a lick, right? You got to hear, my God, how great is our God in the key of Brian. It's pitiful, you know what I mean? Anyway, and somebody said, man, if they just leave here thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's up to in their life, then we have succeeded. And so I want to share a few practical things with you today as we conclude this worship service with our sermon. I ask you, like I said, to go with me to 1 Samuel 17, hold that place, Psalms chapter 56. And in 1 Samuel 17, there's one of the most epic battles in the history of the world. It literally was a world-changing battle. I'm not kidding you, and I'm not exaggerating. In Psalms 56, you have a great treasure verse that has been one of the great helps of my life. And it's something that if you leave tucked in your heart today, God gave it to us for you to know and master it. And if you do today, I promise you the days coming in your life will be great, greatly helped, okay? In Psalms chapter 56, we see a man who is acknowledging his fears. Did you hear that? A man who's acknowledging his fears. Wouldn't you say that that's an unusual experience for a man to acknowledge their fears? Let me ask you a question, boys and girls. Anybody in your life have your dad or your granddad sit down with you and say, let me go over my fears with you? Have you had that experience? Anybody do that? I'm telling you, men don't like to talk about our fears. You know why? It's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's uncomfortable, and it certainly creates a sense that we are weak in some way. We do not like to discuss our fears, and yet, if we were being honest, don't we all have fears? Don't we all have fears that slow us down? The Bible says, confess our faults one to another. Can I give you a couple of my fears? I am terrified of snakes. Like, I have this irrational fear of snakes. I don't like them. There's no such thing as a good snake. They're creepy. They crawly. And when they come around, you might see a fat guy go shuffling off, right? Do you remember what Wendy Bagwell said? He said he's in service. They talked about bringing the snakes. And he said, where's the door up here? And they said, we ain't got one. He said, where would you like one, right? You know what I mean? I'm getting out of here. You know what I mean? That's how I fear about snakes. I also hate heights. I don't know what it is about them, but I don't like them at all. Some people, they like to lean over the edge of the cliff or look into the canyon. Not me. I know what happened to Humpty Dumpty, right? All the king's horsemen and all the king's men couldn't do nothing with that mess. You know what I mean? They couldn't fix it at all. And what do we do when we have fears? What is the natural response in our life when we have fears? When we fear something, we stay away from it. We run away from it. We move away from it. I hate getting on an airplane. I'm telling you the truth, it is the most miserable feeling. I'm not afraid of dying, Brother Allen, but I don't want to fall for 4 minutes and call for my mother while I'm in the fetal position. You know what I mean? I don't want that experience in my life. I don't like to fly. Do you know, you Calvary kids, you got to know you are loved. Because you know when I get on an airplane, when one of them gets married, when one of them graduates from Bible college, when one, I've been in every base in America, I think, going out there to see them get out of those things. But it's true. When we fear something, we stay away from it. That's just our experience. And do you know who knows that? God knows that. But do you know who else knows that good and well? The author of fear, the enemy of your soul, that Jesus Christ said is here to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. He told us that we were to be sober and to be vigilant because our adversary, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whose life he can hurt, whose life he can damage. He knows you run from the things you are fearful. So you know what he does? He tries to attach fears to acts of obedience to God. He does that. I remember the first morning I got up to preach my very first sermon. You might think I had the sweetest time. I was getting ready to go preach, and I was going to obey the Lord and couldn't wait to preach my first sermon. When I opened my eyes, a voice in my heart said, "You're not really going to preach that, are you? You're not going to be that elementary. You're going to make a fool of yourself. You're not going to do this." He tries to attach fears to acts of obedience. Think about this one. Why is it that less than 10% of the church-going people tithe? Is it that they're greedy? Or is it that they're selfish? I don't think so. I think the vast majority of non-tithers are just afraid. They're afraid. They look at their resources and they say, "But if I tithe, I'm just not going to have enough." That was my experience anyway. And I mean, if you look at any study, I think Pew Research says it's 5. Other places say it's 13%. Most Christians who are called to trust God and tithe don't, because we're fearful. Am I going to have enough to take care of my family if I tithe? And you know that to be true in our experience. You know why? What happens when people don't tithe? The church is weaker. The church doesn't have the strength to do all the things that it can do. The church can invest in the community around them when we don't tithe. By the way, what are all the promises to the tither? I mean, the Bible says, "Give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaking together, running over." In the Old Testament, he said, "Try me and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing unto you." The Bible tells us you can store up treasures in heaven. The Bible says that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he's involved in your life. All of these things are true. No one in history has ever been hurt by tithing. No one in history. Snyder Turner used to stand up here, do you remember, and say, "If you will tithe 1 year, if at the end of the year you regret it, we'll give it back to you." You want to guess how many people ever got it back from him? Nobody ever has regretted giving unto the Lord. But we don't, because we're fearful, right? Fears push us away, and it weakens the church. How about some of us who've been called to be speakers, to be teachers, maybe in Awanas or in VBS, or to speak publicly, and for so many years of our life, we just say, "No, I don't want to do that," because one of the great fears is public speaking. We don't share the gospel with our friend who is lost and who desperately needs the Lord Jesus Christ. For 15 years, we have prayed for Tim Atwood to be saved. He is going to die today, and he is unsaved. Could I ask you to pray? Could I ask you to pray for those girls? I typed a prayer so that Ashley could read in his ear because he won't answer my phone call. I'm telling you the truth. We should speak those things, but we back away. You know why? Because we say we'll make a fool of ourselves. I don't know what to say. I don't know how they'll react to me, and somehow it'll get amiss. But God has told us he's the vine and we're just the branch. Our only job is just to give something from God to the people. That's all we have to do. We're not supposed to entertain or, whatever you want to call it. We just have to share something that came from God, and anybody can get that, and yet we back away from that. How about young people? If you're going to really walk with God in this day and age, you are going to stick out like a sore thumb, right? And how many young people are willing to say, "I'm going to be totally different from the corrupt world that's around me"? The young people in our world tell us in the high school they go to, the bathrooms always smell like marijuana. They have teachers who have alternate lifestyles and, all sorts of incredible things. Boys dress like girls in the public high schools, and we're in the Bible Belt. Imagine what it's like in California, for crying out loud. We're always 10 years behind them. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb, and Satan knows that, and he tries to make you to be fearful of that. You won't have any friends. Can I tell you something that's true? If you walk with God, the right people will be drawn to you like a magnet. If you walk with God, the right people, I know there are girls out there who are desperately looking for a godly guy to attach to. I know there's boys out there who are desperately looking for a godly girl to attach to. If you walk with God, the right people will be drawn to you. But if you don't walk with God because you're fearful of sticking out or not fitting in, you know what's going to be drawn to you? What's going to be drawn to you is the wrong kind of people who are going to further hurt your life and carry you down. Do you remember what Jesus Christ said? Who's not with me, who doesn't gather is scattering. There are no such thing as just some good old boys knocking down some beers in the afternoon. You know what? We're sending a message to the people around us. Jesus Christ is not that important. Jesus Christ, would you agree with me that when you and I obey God, we step through a door that allows us to see what God intended for us to see? Would you agree with that? If you tithe, you step through a door of the God-blessed financial life. It's a fact, right? If you begin to answer the call of God and preach, you literally get to have experiences that you would never have had. I wish you could have walked with me down my road. I wish you could have heard the people who prayed for me and put their hands on me and called out to God and begged God to touch me and help me. I'm telling you, when you obey God, you step through a door and experience things you would never have experienced. What is God's highest calling on your life? God's highest calling on your life is for you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And if we don't step through that door, what a vista are we missing? What a view are we missing? What experiences are we missing? And yet, do you know why we don't? For so many people, we don't because of fear. I just can't do that. I don't want to be all in. I'll just be such a dork and I'll do that. That's not true whatsoever at all. And if you and I are going to live up to the call that God has on our life, if we are to live up to the expectations of God and the purpose of our calling, we're going to have to get some skill in our life that allows us to deal with our fears, because we got them, and move on in obedience anyway. Amen. Have some fears and move on in obedience anyway. And God gave us the very tool in Psalm chapter 56, verse number 3. If you'll look at it with me, many children know this verse. And it says these words. David was speaking. He wrote, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." He didn't say, "When I'm afraid, I'm going to obey." He didn't say, "When I'm afraid, I'm going to pray three Hail Marys." He said, "When I feel fear, I'm going to trust in you." I can tell you that I probably read Psalms 56 maybe 10, 15 times before it ever occurred to me who the author was. And literally when I realized who the author was, it jolted me. Do you know why it jolted me? Because here is a man acknowledging his fears, and that man is obviously David, who wrote the Psalms. And if you look at David's life, his young life was nothing like my young life, because his young life was literally appeared to be utterly, totally fearless. I mean, give it up for what's real. The Bible says lion and giant and bear, oh my, right? I mean, this guy literally acted like he had no fears. And yet in this verse, it tells us that he did experience fear, but he chose to do something different with his fears. Because in my life, whenever I had a fear as a young Christian, it served to me as a roadblock. Whenever my body felt fear, that was a roadblock. I can't go speak at the FCA. I can't tell my friend about Jesus. I can't answer the call of God on my life. It was a roadblock, and I backed up. That's what we do with fear. But David said that his fear served to him as a reminder. Think about this truth. Do you know that fear and trust cannot live together? Fear and trust cannot live together. Trust is like the Tums or the Rolaids or the Pepto-Bismol that beats back that nasty heartburn, right? You know what I mean? You get that? Whenever you feel fear, when you introduce trust, fear will begin to dissipate. It's absolutely the truth. And everyone I know who has mastered this skill, and when fears come into their life, begin to turn to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm looking to you. Lord, I'm going to look to your promises. Lord, I'm going to look for your help. I'm going to trust in you. I know you didn't bring me through this to wreck me." They have an incredibly different experience in their life. Can I tell you this to be true also? All fear factors in no help from God. Every fear that you have completely disregards all the help that God has offered to you. For instance, what if I lose my job, right? Well, if you're not a child of God, that's a trouble. That's a problem. You better go start finding another one. But if you're a child of God, you know what the Bible said? God works all things for good to them that love the Lord, right? You know what the Bible says? He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He also said he'd supply what you need through the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't he say those things? He also said he'd be a help to you. He also said he would hear your prayers. In the Old Testament, I believe, he said, "I've never seen the righteous begging bread," right? I mean, literally, God said he will supply for you. "Seek ye first, and all these things will be added unto you." Now, let me go through that experience again. I'm going to lose my job, but God's going to be my helper. He's going to stand by me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to use it for my good. Where'd the fear go? Fear and trust cannot live together. Can I show it to you practically? Will you look back in Psalms chapter 56 and see what was going on in David's life? Verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, he said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Scary, scary. Somebody's trying to kill me every day. What did David do? He introduces in verse number 3, trust. Yes, these things are scary, but I'm going to trust in God. Look at verse number 4. In God I will praise his word. This is post-trust. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. When I cry unto thee, verse number 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Verse 11. In God I have put my trust. I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Thy vows or promises are upon me. O God, I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Can I tell you something? He said, God, you've created me for a living purpose. Here's the situation. Somebody's trying to kill me every day, but I'm leaning on the promises of God, and so I will not be afraid. Was his faith well-founded? Was his trust well-founded? Was he a fool to put his trust in God? No, you know what he saw in God when he trusted in God and walked in the path and obeyed the Lord? God protected him every day of his life. God involved himself every day of his life. And God connected the dots in David's life that God had to connect. His faith was well-founded. And can I tell you something else? Your trust could be well-founded. And if you would trust in God, he will protect you. He will involve himself in your life. And he will connect the dots that you need to have experience in your life. It's impossible for it not to be true because it has been promised to you by for those who trust and for those who walk with him. Look with me at that crazy story. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I want you to see this. And I want to share with you some of the things that the Lord has showed me in this passage. I know that there's probably not a story you've heard more than this one. But I'm just telling you the truth. The Lord told me to go here today, and I can't wait to share this story with you. You remember the story. It's that epic battle. Don't you wish you could see it? There's an army on one side. Boom, boom, tsh, boom, boom, tsh. Here we go, getting ready for battle. There's another army. The Christian army is on the other side. There's this mountain, and there's this great sweeping valley. And you think in just a minute they're going to run together and they're collide. But the enemy army, the army of darkness, did something clever. They introduced something fearful to the people of God. And you remember what they did? They paraded big bad Goliath out there. Because maybe the Christian army could take the Philistine army, but there wasn't a lot of boys as big as Goliath, right? And Goliath was this great big beast of a man. He came out there saying, fee-fi-fo. No, he didn't say that, right? He came out there with a great challenge, and he was huge, bigger than Shaquille O'Neal. Most scholars believe 9 feet tall, big, big boy with this crazy challenge. Look with me. Please don't miss a word. Every word in this passage placed by God for you today. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel. And he said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Pay attention to what he called them. Your servants to Saul. Your king's name is Saul, and you're his servants. I'm the enemy of Saul. Come get you some. Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. I mean, give it up for the dude. He's brave, right? He just called out an army. He literally called out an army. And how will the people of God who've been met with a strong challenge react? These are the anointed, chosen people of God. These are people who've been brought into this land to be a light to the rest of the world. Their king is an anointed, chosen person of God. Literally has been filled with the Holy Spirit of God before and felt the help of God. You remember when Saul came into Israel, the Bible says, and the men went with him whose hearts God had touched. He has seen and experienced the help of God. Here comes this great challenge. How will they respond? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in verse number 11, when Saul and Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And what happens when fear reigns? What happens when fear's in charge? What happens? We run. We avoid. I appreciate you, brother. He hollered, trust, right? For the believer, that's true. But when we don't trust and we let fear reign, fear makes us do stupid things. Fear makes us do foolish things. Fear makes us live far below the calling and the ability of God in our life. And the people of God, for 40 days, let this guy stand out there and make them this challenge. And every day they hid from him. And every day they were embarrassed by him. And it was an unbelievable scene. Verse 24 says, on the last day he came out, he made this challenge. The Bible says they fled from him. It's like they tried to get a little closer. He came out and said, send me a man. They're like, nope, my bad. Out of here, right? And then introduces somebody who comes in with a little bit of trust in their life, right? And the Bible says, meanwhile, back at the ranch, young David, who has been anointed the next king of God, he's keeping the sheep, and his dad says, go check on your brothers. You remember the story. I love the details of the Bible. You got to catch this, right? The Bible says he sends him some supplies to the ranks. Do you know what he sent? He sent 10 cheeses. Why does the Bible tell us that, right? I mean, I get it. My world's better when I got cheddar. You know what I mean? Where would macaroni be without the cheese? You know what I'm saying? We need some cheese, right? But you know what I believe the Bible is telling us? Young people, if you walk with God, at every season of your life, you'll be a blessing. At every season of your life, you'll be a blessing. The people of Israel are in a terrible state. They're embarrassed. They're humiliated. They can't find the strength to fight. Here comes David bringing some nourishment. Can I ask you a question? Anybody have a godly grandma? Anybody in here have a godly grandma? Be willing to raise your hand. Was she a blessing to you in your life? Anybody have a godly daddy? Anybody have a godly mama? Anybody have a godly child? Can I tell you, at any phase of your life, you walk with God, you will bless everybody in your life. You think it was hard to raise Kevin the last couple of years? You think it was challenging to raise Nick Goodwin for a few years? I mean, when you walk with God, you are a blessing and a help and a strength. And here comes David, and the Bible says when he's there, the Goliath parades himself back out there, and he begins to speak. And when they hear it, the people fled. Verse 25 says, here's what they begin to tell David. Please read it with me. Don't miss it. It's treasure. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to divide Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. And will give him his daughter, whoa, Jack, and make his father's house free in Israel. What did I say to you? Fear makes us do what? Stupid things. This king has just offered his daughter in marriage to anybody who will kill Goliath. It's unbelievable. Listen, can I tell you something about that? Where'd CJ go? I'm telling you this, CJ, wherever you're at, listen to me. If you ever do that, Gracie will never forgive you. She just won't, right? It's true. What do you know? At the end of this day, Goliath is dead, right? Ding dong, the witches. He's dead, and the people are celebrating. Bet it was cool in Saul's house, right? I bet his daughters were like, I know what you did. You must not know about me, right? I mean, fear makes us do foolish things. But in this verse, we also see that we can't solve supernatural problems with natural solutions. And literally, King Saul is trying to fix this with his money, with his power, even by giving away his family. Nobody would take him up on the offer. Do you know why? They were all controlled by fear. Fear was driving the boat. Think about this. He said, I'll make you rich. Maybe some poor dude out there would be like, I'm sick of being poor. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to take a shot at it, right? How about this? The royal chick was on the line. The royal babe was on the line. Maybe somebody who's ugly. You know what I mean? Maybe somebody who's just ugly and never had a chance to get a date with the royal girl, right? Maybe he'd step up. Nope, not even for that. Maybe somebody who loved their mama. He said he'd make his father's house free in Israel. Most people think he meant they would not have to pay taxes, but whatever the case, he was going to help. Nobody did it because they are controlled by fear. But David begins to speak, and he begins to speak some things that have some trust in them, and they're beautiful. And David spake to the men, please stay with me, that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Wow. There's something different, isn't it? Who does he think he is that he should defy the armies of the living God? He's not trusting in him. He's not saying, you don't know about me. I'm the baddest man in the land. He's saying he is defying the armies of God. Word begins to travel. We got to go quick. Word gets back to the king, and he meets David. He's like, you can't fight him. He's a man of war, and you're just a kid. And he says, oh, yes, I can. The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear, you remember. And the next thing you know, we see David out there getting ready to fight. It's fun to read. Go with me. Verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield before him, he has somebody toting his shield, he's a big boy. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Did you throw me a bone? Are you serious? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. By the way, Just read that for what it says. I mean, I typically am critical of Old Testament trash talk. I mean, sometimes it was just corny. You know, Saul said, I will pin David to the wall, but this is good stuff. I'm going to feed you, boy, to the coyotes. I mean, this is good, solid, scary stuff. How would somebody who trusts respond to such a scary statement? I'm going to feed you to the beasts of the field. Watch what David said. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thee and thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the field Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Can I say, oorah? He's done topped him, hadn't he? You said you're going to feed me to the animals? No, I'm going to feed you and all your heathen basket of deplorables to the animals, right? It's on because you guys have defied the living God. And the Bible says, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hands. Just wow. Where is the fear? Where is the fear? This boy, does he have no fear? No, he has pushed it out with his trust. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to feat the Philistine. Here's this crazy thing. You just got to picture this. Though you've heard the story 1,000 times, imagine this kid. He has no sword, he has no shield, he has no armor, he has no spear, and yet he is running directly at the very thing the entire Christian army has been hiding from for 40 days. Has he gone mad in his valor? Has he gone crazy with his courage? No, friend. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And his trust in God fueled tremendous courage. He's running at him. I guess it offended, the Philistine, because the Bible says that he ran to meet the Philistine, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence his stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Boom! Can I tell you something that just happened? Israel's losing days just start coming to an end. The days of Israel's defeated days, for a few decades, they're going to take a break because somebody has learned to trust in God. If you read some of the Old Testament history, it is painful. It is painful how often the people of God will quit trusting in God and grab hold of worldly ways. But every now and then, God will bring somebody into the scene who trusts in God, who wants to walk with God. And when they're introduced, here comes decades of victory. Can I tell you something? Israel is in better shape today because David was their king for about 50-year space in their time period. Israel's losing days are coming to an end. The Bible says that when he fell, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. This is funny. Therefore, David ran. Why did he run? I think he's afraid that big boy might get up, right? He ran and stood over on the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out straight sleet therein. There's young people here today, so I won't read it, but it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Watch what happens in the last verse of that phrase. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Fear will make a coward out of you, but look what trust has done. Look what David's trust has done. Can I show you what David's trust has done? You're going to have to give me a little extra time today. It's 5 till. David's trust has allowed him to push back all the advances of his enemy. Literally, you remember what the Bible says? The Bible says Goliath cursed him with his gods. He cursed him by his gods. David responded and said, I come unto you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whom you have defied, right? He wasn't afraid of that. The Bible says that Goliath said, I'm going to feed you to the animals. What did David say? I'm going to feed you and all of your heathen basket of deplorables to the animals, right? It's on. And then the Bible says when the Philistine got up, I imagine every time Goliath had ever got up like to approach any man before, there probably was a little bit of trepidation, right? I mean, if Dion Lauder gets up and goes like this, you're all going to be like, this ain't going to be good. You know what I mean? It just is what it is. Goliath is 3 feet taller than Dion, right? If he gets up, it's like, it's on, right? And probably that was a good tactic for him in days before. But the Bible says, you got to see this. The Bible says that when Goliath stood up, David took off in a sprint towards him. What? Do you know what David understood? David understood thrown objects travel harder and faster when the thrower is moving. Did you hear that? Thrown objects travel harder and faster when the object is moving. In baseball, that whole crow hop thing, you know what I'm talking about? In football, if they can sling it forward. And David was intending for that rock to travel Mach 3, right? He wanted that rock to be slinging. And when the Goliath went down, it opened up tremendous, tremendous help for the land of Israel. It just did. Can I tell you just a couple things that happen in the life of somebody who will trust God? You'll be able to push back the advances of the enemy in your family. Remember what I said Satan wants to do in your family? Steal, kill, destroy, break. You know what I mean? Push back the advances of the enemy in your family for those of you who will walk with God, for those of you who will trust in God and obey Him and seek His path. You know, I teach young people, and it's so solidly true, there's no way you can contradict it. Any situation, no matter how broke it is, no matter how desperately broke it is, whether it's a marriage, a business, a company, a squabble in a church, you know what you need to do to get it fixed? Somebody in that relationship has to obey God. If anybody in that relationship starts obeying God, light begins to come into the situation and it begins to get some help. It's true. And David did that. Here's what happened in David's life. He pushed back the advances of the enemy. But the Bible also shows us that his vision was clear. When you trust God, if you don't get anything else, please catch this. When you trust God, you actually get to see things the way they really are, not the way the enemy wants you to see them. In this story, the Bible says, Goliath said, I challenge the servants of Saul. I defy the armies of Israel. Israel said, he's defying Israel. David said, what? Who is he that he would defy the armies of the living God? David understood we're not just a nation. We're not just servants. They were servants to Saul. They were Israel, but they were the chosen people of God and had resources available to them as such. And you are the chosen people of God and have resources available to you. And the Bible, he understood in his life that while all the world began to see Goliath as there's a giant in our way, he saw it as a giant in God's way. And when people were like, ah, we've got a problem, he understood if we've got a problem, then God has a problem. Do you know what I believe, Brother Teague, from the bottom of my heart? If any day in that 40-day period, any of them boys had said, you know what, this can't be right. People of God living defeated. People of God getting pushed around. People of God getting bullied. If they said, why don't we just seek the Lord and see if we can do something about that? Let's get together and call a prayer meeting. Let's see which one of us is going to go out there and fight them. You know what I believe with all my heart? I believe with all my heart God would have let one of them go out there and fight him and defeat him. Two chapters earlier, Jonathan and his armor bearer whooping up on an army, right? Two chapters early, Jonathan and his armor bearer are doing something because they got a sign from God to do it. I believe that they had the ability, but they did not walk and they didn't see things. Scan the pages of history, how often that happened. Nehemiah saw how it could be. He saw that the walls were burned and the city was destroyed, but he understood there was a promise from God available, that no matter how scattered they were, God could bring them home. Moses saw what was going to happen. He comes to the Red Sea and the Egyptians are chasing him and the people are rebelling against him and the Red Sea is going to drown them. But you know what Moses understood? He said to the people, the Lord will fight for you. Did the Lord fight for Moses? Did the Lord fight for Moses? Split that sea wide open. He saw it for what it was. In Joshua's day, I love the scene in Joshua's day when he and Caleb are trying to get the people, don't rebel against the Lord. Can you imagine a young person saying to a group of adults, don't rebel against the Lord? Don't do this. That was Joshua and Caleb. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't do this. And then he went on to say, they're bread for us. Their defenses are down. And the people wouldn't believe, they were afraid. And so they ran from the plan of God. And they missed out on what God had, but Joshua saw the way they really were. Their defenses were going to fall, weren't they? When he said, they're bread for us, they're good for us. You know what the Bible says of the people that inhabited the land? This is crazy. The Bible says that when Joshua defeated those giants that they ran from, it made him famous. You know, when he became famous, the other nations began to fear him, right? And leave Israel alone and back away from Israel. The Bible also says he was feared in the land. Rahab actually said 40 years later, when we heard you were coming, our heart melted, right? And there was no strength left in any man. All the while the Christians were afraid of the giants. Guess what? The giants were over there afraid of them. Terrified of the people who clearly had the help of God. And they ran, but Joshua could see things for the way that they really were. I wish I had known this when I was a kid. I wish my high school desperately needed a preacher, but I was too scared. My friends desperately needed to hear about Jesus Christ, but I was too scared. My college desperately needed me to speak up and say for something for the Lord Jesus Christ, but I was too scared. You know what I began to learn? Hey, I can, whenever I feel fear, I can immediately look to trust, and it's like that antacid, and it begins to break back the fear. Recently, after Miss Barbara's experience, Miss Barbara had that terrible stroke. I remember she was laying there, and she didn't have any strength in her legs. She can't get up. She's just a shell of the woman that she was, but I love her so. And I remember when I was going to go see her for the very first time, I just dreaded it with my everything. I mean, I just dreaded it with my everything. Here's this godly woman who's walked with God, and she's suffering so very heartily. The Adamic curse is terrible. But you know what I learned? When I'm afraid, I can trust. And so I gathered my thoughts and said, Lord, would you just give me something to say to her? I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm just going to go up there, and I don't even know what I'm going to see when I see her, but just give me something to say to her. And we walked outside that window, and Melita would sing a song. Some of the girls sometimes would go, but the first time I walked up there, and I just began to share with her, God's not done with you, and what God said he would use all things for good, and we prayed that God would heal her. Of course we did, and we begged God outside of that window, and when I got done, I left, and I felt something, and in the days would come, we'd go out there and sing. It's a pretty beautiful thing to see some kids singing outside of that window. It really is. You got to understand it. Last week after church, I ran down the street to see Miss Barbara, and I actually got to go in. And I'll never forget what happened that day. I got down because I couldn't get her to answer the phone, so they actually let me get all the way back into her room. And when I got back to her room, I walked in the door, and I said, hey, Miss Barbara, and there she is laying there. And her roommate began to speak. And when she began to speak, so help me God, she took her wheelchair, and she rolled it over and faced the wall. And I don't know why she did this, but she talked to me facing the wall. And she said, brother, you don't know this, but so many months ago, the very first time you came, I needed something so desperately from God. And God had you say something that was my help. And you don't know this, but I've been praying for months before that God would give me a roommate that would love Jesus. I've been praying for months that God would help me and put somebody in my life that I could talk to Jesus about. And when she said that, Miss Barbara, from her frail place, she looked up and she said, Brian, do you know we've never had a fight? And I looked at that little lady and I said, if you fight with Miss Barbara, there is no purgatory, but God might make you one for you. You know what I mean? You can't fight with Miss Barbara, right? When we trust God, we see things the way they really are. I was so scared. What am I going to say? I'm going to make a fool of myself. I don't know what to do, but God, just help me to say something. You want to try and ask me what I would trade that moment for? I don't know what you do for kicks and grins, catching fish. I've never caught a fish like that, right? Never seen a deer like that. I'm telling you the truth. It's when we walk with God, we see things for the way they really are. They really are. I can't tell you how this plays out in the people in my life. When fear comes into our life, we trust God and we see. Do you know what else we do? We hear the things God intends for us to hear. I'll wrap up with this point. Please give me 5 minutes. If you choose to walk with God, the enemy of your soul, he's going to put scary things that you're going to hear to try to get you to back up. Do you remember what Goliath said? I'm going to feed you to the animals. Boo! Right? Probably everybody has ever backed up who's heard that. In Moses' day, what did he hear? Were there no graves in Egypt? Boo! You know what Joshua and Caleb heard the day they were saying, don't rebel, don't rebel, don't rebel? They heard, the Lord brought us out here to kill our wives and kids. That's what they told them. Boo! Run away. Think about that in your life's experience. If you walk with God, Satan will say boo to you. And he will try to get you to back off the obedience of God. If you got to speak to somebody, if you got to correct somebody that God's put in your life, he will try to scare you away from that. But you need to walk with God and hear the truths of God. Can I just tell you this? I told you what I heard that first morning when I began to started preaching on that day, how Satan came after me. Do you know what else I've heard? You can't sell Christmas trees. McEachern Methodist sells Christmas trees. McEachern High School sells Christmas trees. Midway Presbyterian sells Christmas trees. They're all 1 mile from here. When I went to the children's home, you'll never own a home. You'll never be able to take care of your family. Your family will suffer if you work for that ministry. I heard those things, right? Can I tell you, for those who will walk with God, you'll hear some pretty sweet things. You'll hear some pretty sweet things. I got a phone call one day about 3 years in. McEachern High School called and said, we can't sell trees no more. You want to buy our equipment? All 1,200 of them trees got bailed through the McEachern High School baler, right? McEachern Methodist called me up one day and said, you know what? We can't sell trees. Can we give you 20 of ours and you sell them and keep the money? I said, sure, you can. And every year for the last 15 years, God is my witness, I'm telling the truth, Midway Presbyterian buys a beautiful 10-foot Fraser fir that we put in their lobby, right? You know what I'm saying? And that phone call is precious. You walk with God, you'll see and hear hear some beautiful things. I wish I could tell you the times that I've heard beautiful things in preaching. Every preacher who seeks the will of God, who tries to seek the Lord, has heard something beautiful like this. I need to be saved. Oh, those are beautiful words. I'm going to rededicate my life. I need the help of God. Sometimes we walk out of a room and somebody says, I get it. Preacher, have you ever heard somebody say to you, that was just for me. That was just for me. I wish you could hear Scott Estes put his hand on the back of my neck when I'm at his church and beg God to protect my family and beg God to help me in my life and beg God to give me a special touch and a special help. Oh, if you obey God, you will see and you will hear some pretty special things. Do you know what Joshua heard? Can I get the musicians to come? Joshua said to the people at the end of his time of walking with God and leading the people of Israel, Joshua said to that people that famous line, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, what did he say? We're going to serve the Lord. We love that phrase, but you know what's even better? What's even better is what he heard next. What he heard next was the people said, the Lord delivered us from the land. The Lord did wonders in the land. The Lord protected us all the way through. The Lord brought us into this land. And the Lord, therefore, he will be our God and we will serve him also. Do you know what the Bible says of Joshua? As long as somebody was alive who ever crossed life paths with Joshua. In other words, anybody in leadership in Israel, as long as they were alive while Joshua was alive, if they ever spent a day in his life, the Bible says Israel continued to walk with God. He was that influential. It wasn't until all the people died who ever knew Joshua that Israel began to drift again. That's powerful, isn't it? He heard some beautiful things. He heard some beautiful things. You walk with God, you'll see some beautiful things. You'll hear some beautiful things. If you choose not to walk with God, you just get so much less. You just get so much less. Can I ask you to stand to your feet? I preached with some oomph today, and I pray it didn't offend you. I preached with oomph today because I'm telling you, this is one of the things that the Lord has absolutely put into my life that's helped me so radically. Maybe you're here today, and there's something in your life that's scaring you. Maybe you're here today, and there's something in your life that's made you take a step back. Or maybe like some of the scenes I told you about in the Bible, you just want to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm trusting in you, and I'm dependent upon you. Or maybe you're here today, and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can I tell you, all the help of God that we talked about is for those who've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and their sins are washed away. The Bible actually says the wrath of God abides on those who've not trusted. There are two kinds of people in eternity. There are people who've trusted Jesus and their sins are paid for, and there are people who just got to go pay for their sins because they didn't trust Jesus, right? You don't want to be that person. You need some help today. You want to turn your heart today so this is not just a sermon. We take a step. Bent knees are like smoke signals to God. He loves them. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you'd help us to obey. Thank you so much for the young people who sang so courageously. Even they didn't have the words, just took off singing. You deserve that kind of effort. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd be elevated in this invitation. I pray, God, you'd give Pastor Justin wisdom as he leads this thing. I pray, Lord, that you'd begin to stir in the heart of those who need to learn this lesson. And I pray, oh God, that you'd stir most especially in the heart of one who hasn't trusted you yet. God, would you move in our place today? We try to be real today. God, would you move in our place today? Would you grace us with your help? We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.